I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. National Convention in Chicago. This is Democracy Now!, War, Peace, and the Presidency. We're breaking with convention.
As president, I will be laser focused on creating opportunities for the middle class that advance their economic security, stability, and dignity. Together, we will build what I call an opportunity economy.
The Democratic National Convention opens today in Chicago. On Thursday, Kamala Harris will formally accept the Democratic presidential nomination. We'll go to the streets of Chicago, where the first protest against the DNC took place on Sunday.
Genocide always starts with the decision that some bodies need to be controlled, contained, or exterminated. And that's exactly what reproductive justice is about. And that's exactly what freeing Palestine is about. It's about ending the state's right to do that to any population.
And we will speak to two Chicago men who spent decades in prison before being exonerated.
My name is Jimmy Soto, and I'm the longest serving exoneree in the state of Illinois. It's not the fact that I served 42 years, 2 months, and 2 days. It's the conditions in which I was incarcerated. And I think everyone in America should know these deplorable conditions and how they affected me in my time in there.
All that and more coming up. To Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. We're breaking with convention, war, peace, and the presidency. I'm Amy Goodman. Thousands of delegates and elected officials have descended on Chicago as the Democratic National Convention kicks off today. The four-day convention comes 1 month after President Biden ended his bid for re-election. Vice President Kamala Harris secured the Democratic presidential nomination in a virtual roll call earlier this month and is expected to formally accept the party's nomination when she addresses the convention Thursday. Dozens of delegates with the Uncommitted Movement are also in Chicago as they continue to pressure Harris to halt U.S. military support for Israel's war on Gaza. The delegates represent states where some 700,000 people cast uncommitted votes during primaries to protest Democrats' pro-Israel policies. Among them is the battleground state of Michigan. On Sunday, hundreds of protesters took to the streets of Chicago saying they'll disrupt the DNC until Democrats listen to their demands. We'll hear some of their voices after headlines. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's in Israel, where he warned ongoing ceasefire talks may be the last chance to free Hamas hostages, as he spoke from Tel Aviv earlier today. Blinken added, quote, "It's also time to make sure that no one takes any steps that could derail the process," unquote. On Sunday evening, an explosion on a truck in Tel Aviv killed one person believed to be the bomb's detonator. Hamas and the Islamic Jihad claimed responsibility for the blast. In Gaza, Israel's slaughter continues. The Israeli military is pushing further into central Deir al-Balah, as Gazans are now being crowded into just 10% of the besieged territory. On Saturday, an Israeli airstrike in Deir al-Balah killed at least 18 members of the same family, including 11 siblings aged between 2 and 22. On Sunday, another attack in the same region killed more Palestinian children. Mohammed Awad Khattab said six of his grandchildren were killed as they slept, along with their mother, his daughter, who worked for the United Nations.
My daughter had been struggling to have children for years. She had them through IVF. Four of the children were quadruplets. The eldest son and the youngest daughter, who was only a year and a half old, were also killed. What wrong did these innocent children do? Were they posing any danger to Israel? Were they carrying arms?
UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, is marking World Humanitarian Day today by honoring its 207 staff members killed by Israel since October 7th. A 10-month-old baby has been confirmed as Gaza's first known case of polio in a quarter of a century. The UN's called for a pause of Israel's attacks to allow aid workers to carry out a vaccination campaign against the highly contagious disease. Overwhelmed parents express fear over yet another threat to their families' lives.
We're tired of this life we are living. No food, no drink, no medicines. What are we supposed to do in this life? At the least, we need medicines for our children to protect them from being infected with the polio virus that's now spreading across Gaza. You must find a solution to our situation. We need vaccines. We need medicine. We need proper sanitation. We want you to save us before it's too late. Or how long are we supposed to wait? Should we wait until we watch our children die and become paralyzed and then become helpless to do anything for them?
On Sunday, protesters took to the streets of dozens of cities across the United States on the eve of the Democratic National Convention to demand not another bomb on Gaza. Demonstrations also took place in cities across the globe, including in Amsterdam, where massive crowds rallied to condemn the Dutch government over its failure to hold Israel accountable.
Since October, I've been going to all the demonstrations with my kids because that's all we can do. I can't believe what I'm seeing with my eyes, and I hope this inshallah will end soon because this is not normal, man. Almost a year, we've been watching blown up children, blown up mothers, fathers. I don't have words. It breaks me. It breaks us all. This just has to stop now.
In Colombia, President Gustavo Petro has banned coal exports to Israel. Explaining his move, Petro posted on X, quote, "Colombian coal is used to make bombs to kill Palestinian children," unquote. Colombia had been the largest supplier of coal to Israel. As Ukrainian forces expand their incursion inside Russia, Moscow says Kyiv has struck a third bridge in the Kursk region. Russia also said its troops had captured a group of at least 19 Ukrainian soldiers in the region. Meanwhile, Belarusian President's staunch Putin ally Alexander Lukashenko has threatened Ukraine with military action as he accused Kyiv of deploying 120,000 troops along Ukraine's border with Belarus. In the Dominican Republic, President Luis Abinader has been sworn in for a second term, vowing economic reforms and to carry on a ban on asylum seekers from neighboring Haiti. His government has increased raids and deportations of Haitians and also begun construction of a 100-mile concrete wall along the border with Haiti, which is experiencing a worsening humanitarian crisis. Haitian leaders skipped his inauguration Friday. Abinader spoke from the capital, Santo Domingo.
We know the problems of Haiti need to be solved there through dialogue and the participation of the whole society. With the same strength with which we demanded the intervention of the international community in Haiti, we ask that Haiti is not forgotten again. You can't ask more of the Dominican Republic because we have already done enough.
The social media platform X, formerly known as Twitter, announced over the weekend it'll be shutting down its operations in Brazil. The move by the owner, Elon Musk, comes after X faced legal challenges in Brazil over its refusal to fight the spread of misinformation online. Earlier this year, a Brazilian judge ordered X to block certain accounts accused of spreading fake news and hate messages, including some belonging to supporters of far-right former President Jair Bolsonaro. In Bangladesh, interim leader Muhammad Yunus vowed to support the more than 1 million Rohingya refugees living in Bangladesh as he gave his first major policy address. Yunus, who's been charged with leading Bangladesh's transition after the ouster of Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina, said, quote, "We need the sustained efforts of the international community for Rohingya humanitarian operations and their eventual repatriation to their homeland, Myanmar, with safety, dignity, and full rights," he said. Rohingya refugees continue to face persecution and deadly attacks as they make the treacherous journey to Bangladesh.
The Arakan army raided our village and killed many people. Some 60 people in my village were killed. Some people took refuge under the water in the canal nearby. Some of them died as well. We couldn't count the bodies. A trafficker asked for money to ferry us to Bangladesh. I assured him that my brother-in-law lives abroad and will make the transfer, so he took us on board his boat. Many of us embarked the boat. The Myanmar army fired when we were in the middle of the sea. Around 45 people died. Some were wounded and passed away later. I will do whatever it takes to keep my family alive. I don't have a penny left.
And the U.S. Supreme Court denied an emergency request from the Biden administration to allow its expanded Title IX rules to take effect. Earlier this year, the Biden administration updated the federal policy protecting against sex-based discrimination in schools to include LGBTQ plus and transgender students, as well as pregnant people and survivors of sexual assault. The expanded civil rights policy was supposed to take effect August 1st before Republican-led states moved to block it. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. War, peace, and the presidency breaking with convention. When we come back, we hear some of the voices from the first protests in the streets of Chicago for the DNC. Stay with us.
Your dreams are not your dreams. They're only visions of what be. But I still love you. It's been a lonely year. Everyone left, but I'm still right here. I won't desert you.
Dangerous by Hooray for the Riff Raff. This is Democracy Now! We're broadcasting from the studios of CAN TV here in Chicago. We're breaking with convention, war, peace, and the presidency. I'm Amy Goodman here with Juan Gonzalez. Again, we're broadcasting together in the same room for the first time in 4.5 years after the pandemic. And then Juan moved here to Chicago. It's great to be with you, Juan.
Great to be with you, Amy. And welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world. The Democratic National Convention opens today here in Chicago, where Vice President Kamala Harris will be accepting the Democratic nomination on Thursday. While the delegates gather in the United Center for the convention, thousands of protesters are converging on Chicago to make their voices heard. Over the course of the week, there are at least 6 major protests planned. The demonstrations kicked off on Sunday on the eve of the convention with the March for Bodies Outside Unjust Laws, which was organized by a coalition of several different activist groups to demand action on reproductive rights, LGBTQ rights, and on the end to the war on Gaza.
Democracy Now! Is on the streets to cover the demonstration. These are some of the voices of the protesters.
My name is Jax Blackmore, and I am the organizing director of Shout Your Abortion. You cannot talk about reproductive justice without talking about Palestinian liberation. We are talking about body autonomy. We are talking about the freedom to control what happens to our bodies, our families, our futures, our ability to move between places. This is not something that's exclusively granted just to the American voter. This is something that we protect and stand in solidarity with people around the world and around the globe. And so we stand just as much about bodily autonomy and reproductive justice as we do for people here, as we do in Palestine.
My name is Iman Abdelhadi. I'm an organizer here in Chicago. I'm also a professor at the University of Chicago.
What specifically about queer and trans movements and reproductive rights connects to Israel's war on Gaza and the horrors that people are experiencing in Gaza today?
The genocide has had massive amounts of sexual violence and has had a disproportionate impact on women and their access to health care. But more broadly, genocide always starts with the decision that some bodies need to be controlled, contained, or exterminated. And that's exactly what reproductive justice is about. And that's exactly what freeing Palestine is about. It's about ending the state's right to do that to any population.
I'm Shama Sawant. I was a socialist on the Seattle City Council for a decade. You can see that we have two parties for the warmongering billionaire class. Harris and Trump are both warmongering candidates. And despite some of the differences between them, at the end of the day, it is the Biden-Harris administration that has presided over the support for this war. After Harris became the anointed, you know, crowned candidate for the Democratic Party, after that happened, you saw the Biden-Harris administration approving more than $20 billion more for military aid to Israel.
I'm Jane Steinfels Hussein. I'm here with Code Pink, and I'm here from the Nashville Peace and Justice Center in Nashville, Tennessee.
And you were here in Chicago in 1968 for the DNC that took place that year.
It was accurately described as a police riot, and I was a witness to it. I was a street medic. I was newly graduated from the University of Chicago and hugely pregnant. And I was stuck at one point right out in front of the Hilton Hotel, where the police were beating people and dragging them and putting them in paddy wagons. And the young man who was staying with us, I spent several days afterwards looking for him at hospitals and police stations. And he was left in an alley behind Hilton by the police after both of his legs were broken. So it was really, really violent. And I think it is a pivotal moment. But there have been so many pivotal moments for the Democratic Party to take the right action. So I don't have an awful lot of hope for the Democratic Party, but I do have a hope for the people of America, because I think young people in much greater numbers are really clued in to American imperialism and the whole war economy.
Brant Rosen, the rabbi of the congregation Tzedek Chicago.
And what do you say to people who are calling for, you know, arms embargo, who are calling for these simple demands of ceasefire, who are pro-Palestinian, as being anti-Semitic?
It's just astonishing to hear people say stop war is somehow anti-Semitic. I mean, on a very basic level, as a rabbi, my spiritual tradition is demands that we pursue peace and we pursue justice. You know, the claim that it's somehow anti-Semitic is just, it's absurd on its face, and it shows the desperation of those who stand with Israel unconditionally. It shows the patent immorality of that position.
Justine Medina. I'm on the organizing committee at JFK 8 with ALUIBT.
Well, what brings you here today at the DNC?
The Palestinian trade unions, since this genocidal war started, have been asking for support from their labor and brother sisters around the world. So as internationalists, as fighters for labor power, we cannot, you know, ignore that call. And we are going to come here and we're going to tell everyone, Republican, Democrat, Independent, it doesn't matter. We need a ceasefire now. We need an arms embargo now. We need a liberated Palestine. You know, we need to end the occupation, because the working class is global.
The possibility of Trump 2.0 is only a reality because of the many betrayals by the Biden-Harris administration. Biden and Harris, both as president and as vice president, and the Democratic Party as a whole, they broke their promise for a $15 an hour minimum wage. They blocked the railroad worker strike, which is possibly the one of the most anti-worker, anti-union actions that can be taken by politicians. And so, in other words, both the Democratic and Republican parties are anti-worker, and they are both pro-war.
I want people to know that there is a strong movement within the Democratic Party, certainly with the uncommitted movement, but not only inside the halls of the convention and out here in the streets, that there is a strong, strong constituency that is demanding a fair and humane and a just foreign policy, and in particular, an end to this genocide. And, you know, people often say that, well, this is just focusing on one issue. In a time of genocide, genocide is the only issue.
If the Democrats want us to get out the vote for them, they need to actually earn our votes by giving us a meaningful change on Gaza. They have not done that. We are not going to do the work for them of getting Kamala Harris elected if they cannot stop the most basic thing, which is the slaughter of our people abroad with our money. So for Palestinian Americans, this is a fundamental issue. And we have spent 10 months watching our people die every day. To ask us to simply come out and just wait and hope that some change will happen before the election, it's just offensive, and it's completely insensitive to where we are as a community.
Some of the voices from the first protests leading up to the Democratic National Convention here in Chicago, beginning today, that protest yesterday. Special thanks to Democracy Now! Producer Sam Alkoff, Messiah Rhodes, and Maria Terracena. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, War, Peace, and the Presidency, Breaking with Convention. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Well, in addition to the protests on the streets, dozens of delegates with the uncommitted movement are also in Chicago as they continue to pressure Kamala Harris to halt U.S. military support for Israel's war on Gaza. The delegates represent states where some 700,000 people cast uncommitted votes during primary elections to protest the Democrats' pro-Israel policies. For the first time ever, the DNC is hosting a panel on Palestinian human rights. The uncommitted delegation delegates welcomed the move and are continuing to request that Dr. Tanya Haj Hassan, who has volunteered in Gaza, be permitted to address the convention from the stage.
Top Democrats have spent weeks meeting with uncommitted voters and their allies, including a sit-down between Harris and the mayor of Dearborn, Michigan, Abdullah Hamoud. In an effort to respond to criticism in key swing states like Michigan, which has a significant Arab American population, Harris's campaign manager, Julie Chavez Rodriguez, Thursday held separate one-on-one meetings with leaders of the Arab American community and committed movement in Metro Detroit, among them Osama Siblani, founder and publisher of the Arab American News, the largest and most widely circulated Arab American publication in the United States. He's based in Dearborn, Michigan, where he joins us from today. Osama Siblani, welcome back to Democracy Now! Can you talk about that meeting you had with Julie Chavez Rodriguez, one of the campaign managers for Harris, had been for Biden, the granddaughter of Cesar Chavez? What you had to say to her and how you feel the Harris-Walz campaign is responding to your concerns.
Well, first of all, good morning, Amy, and thank you for having me on your program again. Yes, this is not the first time I met with Julie. Actually, I did meet with her in January of this year when she was managing the campaign of President Biden. And we met in my office for 2.5 hours, and we've had a good discussion, and it was frank. And I met her again last Thursday, and now she's managing the Harris campaign. And we met and we talked for about an hour, and it was a frank and straightforward discussion. It was the same discussion, and I told her that it's true that the Democratic Party changed horses, but we're still seeing the same jockey. That is Benjamin Netanyahu riding these horses all the way, you know, in the same direction, doing the same thing. You know, I've been listening to the program, and I've listened to the demonstrators, and all of them, they're right on the point. They have made a very good case. I would say that they have represented everything that we believe in, everything that we have said. Between January and between Thursday, we have met several times, senior leaders from the White House, emissaries from the president's office, from the White House, and from the Secretary of State, and nothing has happened. Nothing. Nothing. More killing. Actually, when I met with Julie in January, it was like the killing today, three times as much. So nothing has happened. It's more killing, more destruction, and the genocide is going on without any reprisal, without any kind of, you know, steps to take care from here, from the United States, the most powerful country on the face of this earth, the one that can really stop the killing, not doing anything.
And Osama Sublani, what are the first Biden and now Harris people telling you behind closed doors versus what they're saying to the public?
They are not really saying any much. I mean, they listen to us, they shake their head, and we think that something can happen, and the times go, times passes, and all what we see is more killing. There are no promises. They say that Harris is different. They're from different generations, but we have not seen anything from Harris. We've been listening. We're good listeners, but so far we have not listened to anything that changes policy. She said that she is never going to consider an armed embargo. What about if they kill more people? What are you going to do? You're going to continue to give them more bombs to kill more people? There are no leadership in this country. I am sorry. If they think that they can give us a lip service and then on November 5 go and vote for them because the choices are very bad, the other choice, they are wrong. Because there is another choice that we can sit home, and this is what most of the people are going to be doing, sitting home and not going out to vote. Is that the right thing to do? Of course not. But what choices do we have? You tell me.
So, Osama Sublani, I wanted to ask you about this unprecedented moment where for the first time, the Democratic National Convention today, before the actual convention opens, in one of the side meetings, will be hosting a discussion that includes Leila El-Abed, who is one of the founders of the Uncommitted Movement, the sister of the only Palestinian-American congresswoman, Rashida Tlaib, and others at the McCormick Center around the issue of Palestinian human rights. Do you think that this is an accomplishment?
Well, every time that we stand and speak about the Palestinian issue and the massacres that's happening in Gaza, it is important. And I think that this is an important step. However, what changes this is going to make? We have been talking to this administration since October, right after October. And we have been meeting, and every meeting we listen, they listen, we talk, they listen, they talk, we listen, they leave, nothing happens, more killing is happening. That is what is happening. Now, we have to stop talk. We have to stop the talk and can do something to stop the killing. Because this is what's happening right now. You know, like you see, these people are suffering every day more and more, and we keep talking and nothing is happening, and I don't understand why we're not able to stop it. This country is able to stop the killing tomorrow. If there is a will, there is a way, but the will is not there anymore. So I welcome the discussion, but those discussions are leading us nowhere, Amy. Nowhere. Our people are dying every day in a way that is unprecedented. We see them on television with body parts, their children, carrying children, dead, 16, 17 years old, carrying those babies, dripping with blood. That is not a very good scene. That is not how peace is going to be generated in the Middle East. That's more war and more hate, not peace, not harmony anymore. So something has to be done to stop Benjamin Netanyahu's appetite for killing.
I'm wondering if you're heartened, at least in terms of the change in attitude among many Americans. We've seen the votes, the uncommitted votes in the in the primary. And here, even here in Illinois, by my calculations, 50,000 people voted in the presidential primary just in Chicago, but did not vote for president because they didn't have an alternative or uncommitted slate here, but their votes were not counted. So there's at least 50,000 people right here in Chicago who opposed President Biden, and about 100,000 in Illinois. Wondering your sense of how the change in public opinion in the United States in terms of Israel's continued occupation of Palestinian land.
I'm very appreciative, in fact, to the to the change in opinion, especially among the young people. And that is due to being informed through social media, unfortunately, not mainstream.